we return to that theme today. Ernest Holmes said, if through the law thought is creative, we cannot say that one thought will create while another will not. We must admit that all thought is creative according to the impulse, emotion, or conviction behind the thought. All thought is creative. And if you think about it, the precedent of all things physical is an idea, is a thought. The thought for this lectern, somebody had to think, oh, well, let's make it clear plastic so it doesn't appear to be a barrier between the speaker and the audience. Somebody thought about it, and it was an idea, and then it was brought into manifestation. My coffee cup, it was somebody's idea to put, you know, the way on it, the Camino de Santiago, and it helps me to go back. 1 year ago, we were in Astorga in Spain. The precedent of everything physical, material, originated in an idea, even in the creation of the earth. Originated, it began with a thought, with an idea, and then there was light. And because we all think, we cannot help it. We are human beings, and we cannot help but thinking. And because we think, every one of us has to be creative. And for those of you that remember the potholder story, those of us that are not creative, we are. We're constantly creating. Every thought, feeling, and belief creates the experiences of our lives. But we must do our part. If we don't do our part, then we are just cast into the stream and we float down with no control whatsoever. But we can gain that control when we act. One of our songs, we talk about treat and move your feet. Along with those thoughts, we have to take action. How many of you have taken a class here at the center? Wow, just about everybody. There's something that we do at the end of almost every class. What is that?
Project.
A project. We always have to do a project. When we looked at what we call our hedgehog concept, the thing that the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living does better than anybody else, it's classes, it's education, it's teaching spiritual transformation. If you remember from our mission statement, we teach spiritual transformation with grace and joy. And part of that is a class project. It's one thing to make the container, the brain, and fill it full of facts and reading and all that. But when you have to stop and put all that into action in a project, you embody that, and that is where the real learning takes place. The class project is not just a little thing at the end that we have to do. The class project is a really, really important part of what we do. Where was I? Okay. And in addition to that, we have to have persistence. It is really easy sometimes to give up. But if we are persistent, if we create with that thought, that mind, the idea, and we follow it up, then we get results. But sometimes it takes a great deal of persistence. I think of Edison. Thomas Alva Edison tried over 1,000 different combinations of ways to create the first incandescent light. Different filament materials, different gases inside of a vacuum chamber, applied electricity to it so that he could convert the most amount of power to light and the least amount to heat. He tried over 1,000 times before he came up with a tungsten filament. And then he discovered it, and that was the birth of the light bulb as we know it today. Today we've jumped far, far, far beyond that. But he kept trying. He didn't quit. Once he was even asked, well, you failed over 1,000 times. He said, I did not fail. I discovered over 1,000 ways not to build a light bulb. And that's the attitude that we have to have. Abraham Lincoln, I think, is recognized by many people as certainly one of our greatest presidents. But a few facts on Abraham Lincoln. In 1832, he lost his job. He ran for the state legislature and was defeated. In 1833, he failed in business. In 1838, he was defeated for Speaker of the State House. In 1843, he was defeated for nomination for Congress, which he won then in 1846, but in 1848, he lost his own party's renomination. In 1849, he was rejected for his appointment for a land officer. In 1854, he was defeated in his run for the U.S. Senate. In 1856, he was defeated in his nomination for Vice President of the United States. In 1858, he was again defeated for the U.S. Senate. But Abraham Lincoln didn't just give up. Abraham Lincoln kept trying. He kept going forward. He kept taking that idea. He had that perseverance. He kept to his idea of what he could do. And Abraham Lincoln then found himself in the middle of one of the most difficult times in the history of the United States of America. And he had to lead us through this time of division and rancor and non-trust between one another. But he kept persisting. Michael Jordan, often thought of as, you know, the, perhaps the greatest basketball player that ever played the game. Certainly, he elevated the game of basketball in the consciousness of not only the United States, but in the world. Mm-hmm. He wrote a thing on failure. Michael Jordan, once he stated, he missed more than 9,000 shots. He lost over 300 games. 26 times, he was given the responsibility of taking the game-winning shot at the end of the game and missed. Michael Jordan was not selected for his high school varsity basketball team. He was crushed. He knew he was the best player, but he wasn't picked. But he went to the junior varsity. And what did he do? He worked his tail off at the JV. He continually worked harder and harder and harder. And of course, the next year he was selected for the varsity. And he went on to become probably the best basketball player in the history of the game. But he suffered a lot of setbacks along the way. But he didn't look at it that way. He persisted. We are all constantly creating. Point number two, commitment. There is something magic about making a commitment. I did 2 weddings on Friday. What a wonderful thing that was. I love doing weddings. Weddings are a lot of fun. One year I did a wedding in Talkeetna. It wasn't in Talkeetna. It was 15 miles on a snowmobile trail outside of Talkeetna, 22 below, outdoor wedding. They didn't have benches, they had straw. Straw will keep you warm. They had a champagne fountain that froze. It was great. But the toast, the best man gives a toast at the wedding. And his toast was this beautiful description. It was just a verbal painted picture about snow machining and riding a snowmobile up the hill. Gently, the hills are getting higher and steeper, and they're going up and up and up and up. And he comes over the crest of the hill, and he looks down, and there is this gorgeous, beautiful valley down below him, and not a track in it, but it's a real steep hill down. And in that moment, you have to make a decision. Do you hit the gas and go all the way? Or do you turn around and go back? And he then painted this picture of how the couple were at that place in their lives, and they decided to hit the gas and go over the hill and go down, and that is commitment. I think it's like the story of breakfast where, ham and egg breakfast, hen has an interest in the breakfast, but the pig is committed. It's that kind of a thing. It's commitment. We need to stay committed. When you are creating, don't judge it. That's something that we often fall into. When you are in that creative place, drop all judgment. Quit saying that your potholder isn't any good. Don't let people tell you that that potholder is faulty. So you missed a row. Let it go slightly imperfect. We have an almost an innate fear of judgment and a fear of failure. I know that we got the new TV and we got the Wii, and I never have figured out Wii. A disc goes somewhere and they do something. My six-year-old grandson can figure out the Wii and can run the Wii. Not me. Kids don't have the same innate fear of failure that we do. I'm afraid to try to do the Wii because I'm going to get it stuck in there. I won't figure out how to make it come up. It won't work right. Something will be wrong with the Wii. The six-year-old doesn't have that. He can just walk in, push buttons, and make it happen. We're the ones that hold ourselves back because of fear of failure. Linda, thank you for the great honoring of our veterans and those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. That is the level of commitment that I'm talking about. Many cases gave their own lives, but many people have given 2, 4 or more years in service to the United States of America to allow us to live in a society where we can complain, where we can gripe about the president, we can gripe about our governor, we can gripe about the legislature. Which seems to be getting easier here in Alaska. I don't know. No, we can't have politics. Our founding fathers, the Declaration of Independence, those men had to go up and they signed that Declaration of Independence. That put their name out in public for the British to see exactly who the troublemakers were. They risked everything. Most of those were the wealthy landowners of the day. They were the 1%. And yet they marched out and said, we're going to risk it all. We risk our farms, we risk our, you know, all of the our money and all of the things that we've done, but we're laying it down for a free nation. They made that level of commitment. Doug Dietz invented a machine called the MRI. And it was great. And it was a big step for medicine in the United States and the rest of the world. But it didn't work particularly well for smaller kids. They were afraid and it made noise and they didn't like it. And it bothered him that his invention was not particularly effective for children. So he thought about it and he persisted and he was committed to making this machine that would be effective and work for kids. So the idea that he came up with was to turn it into a pirate ship. And so he got his MRI and he turned it into a giant pirate ship. And he had the nurses dressed as pirates and, you know, all that. And it became, and the kids' assignment was to hide and hide from the pirates. And they had to get in this little area and stay there and be still and hide from the pirates. The kids loved it. But Dietz didn't just give up because it ought to be too tough. My third point is laughter is the best medicine. You may wonder, how does this whole laughter thing that we've been talking about today fit in with this theme of creativity? And Linda nailed it with the sacred reading, the first sentence of that. Finding the lightness in a situation that we have made dramatically heavy can bring on healing and happiness. Laughter is healing, enhancing, and uplifting. When we can step out of all the drama, when we can step out of all the things that we involve ourselves in, and when we can have the courage to laugh at ourselves, we can take all that drama, all that angst, all of those problems, and put them in a perspective to where they really belong. We can get out of the past and regret and remorse and the things that we did wrong or the wrong that somebody did to us. We can let all of that go, and it brings us to the moment, this moment, right now. No worry about the future, no regret for the past, but in this moment, and know that the divine current, when it flows through us, as us, would like to be happy. The divine current does not have a desire to express itself on this plane as sadness, as remorse, as regret. It wants to be happy. It wants us to be happy. And we can step into that. Laughter is the best medicine. Laugh yourself healthy. And so to help us do that in this moment, I am going to ask Linda to come back up. And I think we have some people in the who may.
Well, close your eyes. You are all now a part of Linda Steiner's Meditation is More Than You Think, otherwise known as This Ain't Your Mama's Meditation. And so we taught something in this class. So I'm going to call a few people forward to help me demonstrate. There's actually set ways of doing a laughing meditation. So Zoe, Verna, you know I'm calling you up. Claire, I know you have a lot of fun doing this. Tiffany, Neil, come on up. Who else is in that class? Did I miss anyone? Steve, you weren't in that class? Okay. So. But aren't you all excited? You all are now in this class with us. And so we're going to... Tiffany's like, yeah, no. And so I'm going to actually give you the... There's actual steps. I know. So you say, yes, these guys are out of control. So, but there's actual steps on how to do this. So I'm going to demonstrate once. We're not going to laugh. I just want to demonstrate. Yeah, try. And then everybody here today gets to do this. So the step is actually raise your hand in the air. Okay. Now you have your hand in the air. You actually blow out your breath as you bend over. When you get to the bottom, you take a big breath. And as you come up, you slap your knee and start to laugh. Did you get that? Hand in the air, blow out, bend over, take a big breath, slap your knee, come up laughing. Okay, everybody stand up, we're doing this. And if you're having trouble getting into your joy and laughter, please just watch Zoe, because she will take you there. So everybody, hand up, bend over, slap your knees. That was pretty good. Now that you've got it down, let's try it again and really, really disappear into this laughter. And then you can be... for the person who laughs best, you get to spend time with Zoe. Okay, are you guys ready to do this? Are you ready to laugh? Hand in the air. Bend over. Slap your knee.
Serotonin just went up.
Yeah.
That's it. And I know that there are some of you that are thinking, that man has finally lost it. We cannot do this to bring Steiner up and have a laughing meditation. But let me explain to you what just occurred to you within your body as we did that exercise. Some little facts about that. One bout of anger diminishes the efficiency of your immune system for 6 hours. Wow. One good laugh increases the efficiency for 24 hours. Your heart and lung functions were stimulated. You oxygenate more blood. Your body releases endorphins and serotonin. Your own natural painkillers. You burn 78 times more calories than if you were at a resting rate. And after a laugh, your muscles and arteries relax, which eases pain, your blood pressure lowers, and your pulse drops. There is a whole series of positive physical reactions to laughter. And laughter is our natural state. We do that naturally. We don't have to be taught. Babies know how to laugh. Zoe doesn't have an off switch.
No. Nor does she need one.
Oh, I love you, Zoe. Okay, conclusion. We're getting to the end. We may need to put a stopper in this today. The conclusion today, I want to conclude with a couple of quotes from the Hebrew scriptures, from Proverbs. First is, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And just a couple chapters later, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So what I want you to do today, what I want you to take away, let go of anger and resentment. Let your natural creativity create more joy, more happiness in your life. One final story. As I was working on this talk, I had about four things going on yesterday, all at the same time, trying to juggle a lot of different things, and this appearance of cold and everything was getting worse and worse every hour. Throat was worse. Not going in a direction I wanted. But I was looking for something to open with, and I had remembered, I'd read in Reader's Digest years ago the LOL story about the girl, Loads of Love, or Laugh Out Loud. And I came to a site, and nothing in there was suitable for the congregation. But it was all of the autocorrect mistakes that come up on that a cell phone will do. And I started laughing and I could not quit. My eyes were watering, I couldn't read the screen, and I'd finally, okay, settle down, and I'd go to the next one and it was even funnier. And I sat and laughed and laughed. It must have been for 30 minutes without a break. And you know what? I started feeling better right away. I'm a living testament to what laughter will do. So if you get kind of down and you're near a computer, just Google autocorrect. There's even a site for it. A damned autocorrect something. But just look at autocorrect and Google it and it'll come up. You'll end up at a site and it has got hilarious, hilarious autocorrect mistakes. And that is the takeaway. Don't take yourself so seriously. Don't get wrapped up in the woulda, shoulda, couldas. Don't get wrapped up in what somebody did to you or how you were hurt or how. Stay in the truth. Stay in the here and the now. And don't be afraid to laugh. Let your creativity lead you into laughter and humor and fun. We're supposed to have a prayer, but it's kind of hard. Okay. And so, and that really is, that's a perfect prayer. So as we sit in this moment and we recognize the power and the presence of God here and now, knowing that that power, that presence, God, is not a God of vengeance. It's not a God of fear. It is a God of love. It is a God of laughter. It is a God of happiness and joy. And so as I speak my word now for each and every person who's facing a challenge in this world, whatever kind of a challenge it is, whether it's a medical challenge, a health challenge, we know that behind the appearance of disease, there is indeed a pattern of perfection. And that as we face that disease, as we face that medical condition, we can do so with fear, we can do so with angst and fear and all of the other negative emotions that we can conjure up, or we can face that with joy. And the same thing is true with those who are facing financial challenges. No, we don't make money out of the air. We don't make things automatically appear. But we can make the life that we have within the funds that we have, within the abundance and prosperity that we have, and we can make that joyful. We can bring joy and happiness into our very existence. And I speak my word now for those that are facing relationship challenges, knowing that behind this appearance of separation, separation from the one, separation from one another, that there is love, only love, God's love. God's love for us, God's love for one another, God's love for all that is. And we just open up and allow that God's love to permeate all that we do. And it is in that love that we can create the joy and the happiness within our lives. And so we just give thanks now. We give thanks for Laugh Out Loud. We give thanks for the happiness and the joy. We give thanks for those who have gone before us and have made the ultimate sacrifice, the commitment, so that we can enjoy this wonderful holiday, this holiday weekend. And now I release these words, the working of law. I let it go, I let it be, and so it is.